This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. National Transportation Safety Board investigators have recovered critical evidence in Wednesday night's mid-air collision between an American Airlines jetliner and a U.S. Army helicopter at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
What are commonly called the black boxes, which are not actually black at all and are a bright orange color to make them easy to find, have now been recovered from the American Airlines regional jet. They comprise of the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, which could indicate if the pilots ever saw the Black Hawk helicopter before it slammed into them. The Black Hawk also had a form of a flight recorder on board.
ABC's Alex Stone. President Trump working DEI into the mix.
Trump is doubling down on these claims that diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are to blame for this tragedy, saying it's, quote, because I have common sense. He's presented no evidence, and this investigation is only just beginning.
ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News. New details in the New Year's crash of an experimental aircraft into a warehouse in Fullerton, California, killing two on board and injuring 19 on the ground.
In a new NTSB preliminary report, investigators say the small kit-built airplane had problems with the pilot's side cabin door. It was seen ajar before takeoff and open after the plane lifted off. Witnesses say the door was open in flight and the pilot tried to close it. Then the plane was banking and rolling aggressively before the door flew off. Then the plane made a nosedive into a warehouse into a ball of flames. The NTSB says a main cabin door was found about 150 feet away from the impact site. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Here in New York City, police are looking for six people who commandeered an empty mass transit train car in Brooklyn Saturday night and took it on a joyride. A video of the group was also shared on social media. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an LA County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight to low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s. Right now it's 36.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Mr. Zimmer will have a board game of the week and review the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, Haley, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, definitely. And what a sponsor has been with us for going on 9 years now. And we really appreciate them and the work they do. And it's just a good thing. Hey, we're going to have Robert Lilligren on in a little bit. And before we get him on, Haley, there's a lot of stuff going on in Indian country and with the shock and awe that the Orange One's been trying to do and throw us off our balance. It's not been a good thing. I'm wondering if maybe we can play a video from our relative Sharice Davids, and maybe you can set it up here a little bit because it's about what's happening lately here on the news.
Yeah, well, most importantly today, this was news that came out of the Washington, D.C., the Capitol, at the Ronald Reagan International Airport. Really sad, tragic news. A bunch of Kansas State residents, including, I think it was the gymnast team, or I'm not, yeah. I would have to read more into that. But Sharice Davids, who is a Ho-Chunk Nation tribal member and Kansas Congresswoman, spoke about it earlier, and it looks like she was interviewed on the news, and I think it would be really important to share that. So here is Sharice Davids.
There are 67 people that are believed to be dead, including 64 on that commercial passenger flight from Kansas. What are you hearing at this point from your constituents?
Well, thank you for expressing that. This is absolutely heartbreaking. Every single Kansan, we're a pretty small state. Every single Kansan is going to be impacted in one way or another by this. And certainly all of us are praying for the families and the loved ones and friends and community of all the people who have been impacted by this. I will say that, I've been hearing from so many folks. You know, we've also had a lot of people nationally just reaching out to everyone in our delegation to make sure that that everyone in Kansas and everyone else who's been impacted, including our military personnel, including the first responders and the people who are out there trying to do everything they can to do the recovery operations. There's a lot of outpouring of love during this heartbreaking time.
Wow. Yeah, our prayers are out there. And I was talking to our guest, Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, president and CEO. We were talking a little bit about the president's orange one's response to this and how bizarre and how welcome, Robert, and good to see you again. And you weren't able to change since I've seen
you. No, I just got in the door. I just got stuck in rush hour traffic. So you get to see me in my governing clothes.
That's right. That's right. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and a lot to talk about today.
Huge respect to Congresswoman Sharice Davids, your Ho-Chunk sister, for her heartfelt and appropriate response. And it's got to be hard, right? And like she said, Kansas is a small state, small population. And so it's going to impact just about everyone, and such a tragedy.
Yeah, and the response from the orange one is just probably not worth bringing up, because we had such a good day today.
We had a great day.
Yeah, really did. And we can talk about that in the next segment. But, you know, the things that are going on around Turtle Island, and the shock and awe and wearing people out. And that's why it's so important for you and Haley to be on this show and speak our truth, and talk to our relatives out there all over Turtle Island about staying awake and staying vigilant. And we are the resistance experts. I still have to make those t-shirts, but
right. Right. And, yeah. And just before we leave the topic, yeah, Trump's response is very disappointing. He was assigning blame. You know, actually, his first message was kind of borderline presidential. And, you know, he talked about the tragedy and how prayers are with the victims and their families. And then he came out with this assigning blame. And it's way too early for any of that, you know, not very presidential. And then, of course, there's the deluge of executive orders. And for folks who work either in government or tribal government and the nonprofit sector, you know, he turned the tap off on all federal grants, and it would have just been devastating. I mean, many tribes, Native orgs, Native service organizations are one grant payment away from laying people off, shutting their doors. So we had 24 hours or so of trying to craft a response, trying to figure out what the impacts were, to assure our staff members that, you know, we'll do the best to retain staff. And you know, what's the role of the private sector, philanthropy, local government to fill these gaps while we try to figure this out? And then, of course, the executive order shutting off federal grants was rescinded the next day.
Yeah.
So all this work was for naught. But it'll come up again, right? This is planned chaos. Yep. We'll see more of this kind of stuff.
And, you know, Robert, the first time around with him was the same thing. And we have a short memory, but it was the same thing. And, you know, he only had one bill passed, and it was to pad the rich people or give them tax breaks. And this shock and awe is done on purpose. And also the denial of Project 2025, everything that's in there has been going on. And, It's just bizarre how things are happening, but we got to stay vigilant, and we got to stay open, and we got to stay respectful for our relatives. But we also have to call all this out and call mainstream media out. They've normalized this.
Agree. And we, in Indian country, whether that's reservation or urban, we need to stand together, right? And I was really gratified with that response that we needed. How locally, nationally, there was very fast, quick, and robust discussion about how we craft common messages, common strategies, and it was gratifying to see how quickly that could come together. And so back to the saying, we're the resistance experts, right? And that was really apparent. And And if we don't stay vigilant, well, you know, mm-hmm. we're in trouble. And it is very similar to the first term, but he's experienced now, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he kind of has more of a plan. It is the Project 2025 playbook to the letter, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I suspect somewhere around half of the executive orders that he's issued aren't legal. You know, that's my number. Don't anyone, you know, take that as gospel, but I bet it's at least half. And so now it's just chaos, right?
Exactly. So, hey, Robert, when we come back, Haley's going to play a clip from our lieutenant governor and love you to respond. It's a great clip. And then we can move on and talk about more things. But we are the resistance experts here. And this is Native Roots Radio. And we're here with Robert Lilligren and Haley Cherry. And we'll be right back.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Do you have a loved one who is not receiving the care that they deserve at their current memory care facility? I'm Aiden Helene, Director of Community Relations here at the Welshire, and I meet with families every single day who are struggling with poor staffing, missed medications, poor personal cares, and an absence of engagement from consistent activities. 85% of our residents at the Welshire are coming from other memory care facilities that could not meet their care needs. Not all memory care is created equally, and if this is something your family is experiencing, I encourage you to come visit our community of well-being and see the Welshire difference, where we promise that your loved one will live with pride and dignity. The Welshire has 24/7 nursing, a robust activities team that provides activities 7 days a week, and when the diagnosis takes a 9-to-5 approach, so will we. Book a tour at WelshireMN.com and see our community of well-being in action. That's WelshireMN.com. Again, that's WelshireMN.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, and we want to take a quick listen to our relative, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and then talk about that. Let it roll, Haley.
We acknowledge how painful this felt for folks, right? That this election, in many ways, because we have lived through a Trump administration before, know what potentially is on its way, and more. And, like, that's scary, and it is a-okay to be afraid. And one of the ways that you remain resilient is by resting and taking care of yourself and finding those moments of joy. Over the last month, as I have been doing speaking engagements and meetings and where things just feel really heavy, there's been one acknowledging, I was like, y'all, it feels weird, right? Does everybody just kind of feel weird? Like, that's okay, right? And to say that, I just really want to, like, name that, like, please take care of yourself. That, I think, is the most important thing that we can do in this moment.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple weeks here, Robert. And whenever we get, you and I get a chance to talk, what a great message.
I agree. We are so fortunate to have our whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan, as our lieutenant governor. She is so wise beyond her years, and very reassuring there. And And people need that right now, right? And we need to care for each other. And as the Lieutenant Governor indicated, we need to care for ourselves. Yeah. And I feel like that's really where it starts. Through the COVID era, and a wise elder in our community taught me to indigenize my approach to my work by prioritizing caring for myself first, caring for my family second, and caring then for the community and the organization. This was Linda Eagle Speaker. And I resisted it, right? It's like, mm-hmm. We're indigenous. We care for the whole, not mm-hmm. the self. And she said, Robert, that's the colonizer's way. The indigenous way is care for yourself, then your family, and then your community. And finally, I just decided to believe her with no proof, mm-hmm. right? I said, okay, she's wiser than me. And so I really started to embrace that approach and saw the transformational impact on my work, on my life. So I started to encourage the staff at NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, to do the same thing. And they resisted because yeah. it's just not how we're conditioned. Right. And, but as we've embraced that now for whatever, maybe 3 years, it's been amazing, the transformational impact on the quality of everyone's work at NACD, on the quality of the effectiveness of NACD. It's like turbocharged. So much so that I don't know why all employers don't take that indigenous approach. Yeah. In this time, you know, what is that saying people like to quote, put on your own mask before helping someone else with theirs, you know? But to actually embrace it, to live that, is harder than you'd think. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan's kind of central message. Care for yourself and then care for each other.
Yeah. And that's a great thing. Also, to acknowledge that we're all a little off, you know, as a male at 63 years old, it's hard to admit that for me, that I'm a little off or I'm sad or I don't know what the future is going on. And that's not how we're colonized thinking, too.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And so all the more reason to return to indigenous approaches. You know, be the resistance experts. There's so much work that needs to be done. And so keeping focused on self-care, family care, and then community care. I don't know. It really surprises me how many people I talk to in the community that actually seem kind of hopeful. They seem to have hope, right? And it's like, when you're in such dark times, what are your options? Hope or despair, right? So I choose hope.
Well, there was a message today that we heard, and I know we talk about this too, that the Native community has gone through dark times. We've resisted. We're still here, and we will be here. And so we are, as a Native community, resistant experts too. And it's amazing that we have that in our DNA. It really is, because once you snap out of it and go, hey, we've been through this before, and a lot of people, they haven't, and a lot of communities haven't, but we have, and we're going to fight through this.
I agree. And it reminds me of, you know, when I served on the Minneapolis City Council, and I represented, you know, a lower wealth ward with a very diverse population, and there were two economic downturns during my time on Minneapolis City Council. And a lot of my colleagues on the council who represented wealthier, whiter wards were, you know, really worrying and hand-wringing. And my message to them was, hey, my constituents don't have so far to fall. It's kind of scary to us, you know. We know how to be poor. You know, we know how to get by on very little when we need to. And we enjoy abundance when we can. But it is a matter of experience.
Right. And that's what you were talking about earlier, was how the community, at least in the Twin Cities here, really, you know, did not freak out. They said, what's the next steps and move forward. So that's a good example, too.
Yeah, it was a really encouraging example. And because we're going to need to do it again. We know that this is going to be a crazy 4 years, and we're going to need to be very nimble and adaptable and able to pivot And again, strengths of the Native community, strengths of Indigenous people.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Native American Community Development Institute will be at the Minneapolis Community Connections Conference along with Native Roots Radio on Saturday, February 8th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's exciting. And then once that's over, we can get the nighttime powwow at the Johnson High School for Enda Young. Oh, wow.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Yeah, and this Community Connections Conference is kind of a big deal here in Minneapolis. It's a lot of very community-based organizations, neighborhood associations, but authentically community work actors, workers, right? And so we all get together at the Minneapolis Convention Center, a beautiful facility, and there's breakout sessions and speakers and a lot of good food, and we just share our experiences, share our resources, and and figure out ways to collaborate. And yeah, it's been around for, I don't know how long, Haley, do you know, it's probably been 10 years, something like that.
I think so. Christine was talking about it when she hosts Minneapolis Air, and she's been there quite a few times, so a few years now.
Well, Christine and her department, but also her as a person, is really a big part of getting this off the ground. I've been, and NACTI has presented in several breakout sessions through the years. I've emceed the whole program maybe twice through the years, and so Native people and Native orgs do have presence, visibility there, which is always important.
Well, plus you'll be able to meet Haley in person. Haley Cherry will be there.
And Robert Pilot.
And Robert Pilot, that's right. Don't forget.
I think there was like over 170 booths or vendors that signed up, and they were able to fit them all in. So there'll be tons of people there.
That sounds great. Yeah, we'll be tabling as NACTI there, but we're not doing any sessions or anything. Mm-hmm. But we'll be around.
Yeah, definitely. That's exciting. And that was, part of Native American Community Development Institute, how we came up with Minneapolis Air with the city of Minneapolis, and had, you know, so the connections that we talk about in a good way, we also talk about when things are a little blue and the sky is gray, as what's happening now. And it's so reassuring to hear from you, Robert, and the things that you're plugged in about how the community's reacting. And I know today there was a huge amount of people at Lower Sioux for what's happening with Pipestone and that whole thing. And that's exciting. I heard there was 23 tribes recognized down there, leaders that were ready to rock and roll and be proactive.
Right. So one of our Minnesota Dakota nations, Lower Sioux, held, I think they called it a gathering of nations. So it was 23 tribal governments represented to discuss a pipeline issue that cuts through sacred sandstone territory. And for right now, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has suspended the permits on the project, but that's likely temporary, right? And so so this gathering of nations is coming together to seriously consider what next steps are, what strategies are. And I haven't heard any reports. As you know, Robert, I've been in kind of lockdown all afternoon.
Yeah.
So I feel a little disconnected, but I look forward to hearing what comes out of that gathering of nations.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe next segment, I know you're only signed up for two, but maybe we can talk about a little bit before we let you go what happened today. Because, again, I got behind the computer here and talked to Haley before the show. And it was, I don't want to say reinvigorating, but it was invigorating for me to be around around this, and then hearing Dr. Bean speak.
Dr. Kate Bean, amazing. And I gave Haley the option for a third segment. So if you like, I can stay for another segment. We can talk a little deeper. But Dr. Kate Bean, a local leader, she runs a meet.
News from the center, WRCE. This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. National Transportation Safety Board investigators have recovered critical evidence in Wednesday night's mid-air collision between an American Airlines jetliner and a U.S. Army helicopter at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
What are commonly called the black boxes, which are not actually black at all and are a bright orange color to make them easy to find, have now been recovered from the American Airlines regional jet. They comprise of the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, which could indicate if the pilots ever saw the Black Hawk helicopter before it slammed into them. The Black Hawk also had a form of a flight recorder on board.
ABC's Alex Stone. President Trump working DEI into the mix.
Trump is doubling down on these claims that diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are to blame for this tragedy, saying it's, quote, because I have common sense. He's presented no evidence, and this investigation is only just beginning.
ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the murder weapon was never recovered and there were no eyewitnesses, but most people still think OJ did it, including OJ. According to Simpson's doctor, Simpson took the truth to his grave. Why is there yet another docuseries about this horribly tragic true crime story? Because obviously people can't get enough of it. American Manhunt, OJ Simpson, is a new four-part docuseries featuring interviews with police, lawyers who were on the case, Simpson's agent, and Ron Goldman's sister, Kim. American Manhunt is available on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, as we often do, when launching a new talk show, it's important to somehow make it unique and give it an identity separate from other talk shows. Comedian John Mulaney will host a talker on the streamer that has been the home to many of his stand-up comedy specials. Not many details have been released, and that is on purpose, according to Mulaney, who says this was the perfect match because he never wanted to do a talk show, and Netflix was getting out of the talk show game. I'm officially curious. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight, to low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s, with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s.
It's 34 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recuses from the Act 10 case. Also, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display In God We Trust. Will that stop school shootings?
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO and president of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis. And also, you wear other hats, too. And today I got to see you in your other hat and be a part of this really great experience. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that today or about today, Robert.
Yeah, it was great seeing you there. As some folks may know, I'm a representative on our regional government here, our seven-county regional government. It's called the Metropolitan Council, or Met Council. I'm one of 16 appointed council members appointed by the governor, and I'm the first tribal citizen to ever serve on this body. That's 50-year history, so that's kind of nice, opening a door, and then opening space, creating space for Native issues, Native voices in our governing and policymaking. And today was our State of the Region address, so sort of like a State of a Union or State of the State, but for the region. And we really mixed up the format. So the chair of the Met Council, who's the constitutionally designated spokesperson, delivered his address. But then there was a panel discussion and then breakout sessions. I got to lead one of the breakout sessions as well. So it was much more interactive, more dynamic. One of the things that really impressed me, and I know you as well, Robert, was on the panel discussion. One of the panelists was Dr. Kate Bean, a local scholar. She runs a huge arts institution in St. Paul. Her and her family are part of a huge, big reclaim, rename kind of movement. Mm-hmm. She's just so wise. And listening to her talk, and I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, but looking around the room, representation really counts. And it's great that you're there, and it's great that Allison's there. And I saw fellow Ho-Chunk there that's working with the Met Council, and it's opening up some eyes and some doors and some ears, and that's all we can hope for.
Yep, and Allison is a Native woman who is really spearheading a lot of our Native engagement efforts. John is, I didn't know he was Ho-Chunk, but he works in Environmental Services, is that his department?
Yeah.
And there's this concerted effort now in direction for each Met Council division to have a Native presence, a Native liaison. And so that's going to change things a little. And then having people in front of the room, right? Like Dr. Yeah. Kate Bean today speaking. And I loved, I think it was the first question was something like, what trends do you see emerging? And I love how Dr. Kate Bean reframed the question, right? Everyone was answering the question, and when they got to her, she said, I'm not into trends.
Right.
You know, my people and my culture aren't trends. We've been here a long time, and we'll be here a long time, and we can contribute to the solutions.
Like yep.
We're not a trend.
And yeah.
I said, There you go. But I like the question, you know, reframe it to the one you want.
Yeah. No, that was excellent. And I went, okay, here we go, right on. And in a professional, articulate way of really speaking truth without being, I guess I would have probably been a little, not as professional and articulate.
A little bit, yeah.
And
that is smooth. One of the beauties of Dr. Kate Bean's style, right?
Yeah.
I try to do that some in my own way sometimes, but to say the sometimes difficult things, but in a way that isn't going to shut someone down,
right?
Isn't going to turn people away. And she's a brilliant at it.
Yeah, they also were handing out. I don't speak Dakota, but it's the Dakota Land, Water, and People Acknowledgement, and it's a long statement they were handing out, and I got a copy of that, and it was something that our group had worked on. But it was interesting what she said about the original conversation. And I know I didn't make that meeting, but you were at the very first meeting.
I was. And I talked about it in the breakout session that I facilitated as well. So in Met Council, there was this idea, and they've been working toward engaging and incorporating more Native thoughts, beliefs, values into our work. And so there was the idea to create this advisory council, this American Indian Advisory Council that you serve on. And it's mostly Dakota representation with some Ho-Chunk and some Ojibwe. Mm-hmm. And I was really concerned that we weren't going to be able to recruit sort of top-tier cultural carriers because Native people are kind of over land acknowledgements. And we're also, you know, we have, I call it engagement fatigue, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to talk to us. Mm-hmm. And, but we were able to get high-caliber people like you, like Dr. Kate Bean, and this dozen people that serve on this advisory group are just really some of the region's most knowledgeable and esteemed cultural carriers and others. And so at this very first meeting, which I think you might have had some tribal government thing going on that night or something.
Yeah.
And but so I attended that one. I don't attend them all. It's not my thing, but I was there. And as we prepared for that and had, you know, setting the agenda for the first 6 months of work, the original plan at that first meeting had been kind of do a Met Council 101. And sort of educate the room about what Met Council does. And I was engaged in advising on this process. And I said, don't do that. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Met Council. This is time for the Native people to speak. And Native people are going to need to speak first in this process to really demonstrate that we're centering a Native voices. And so we had a prompt question. What do you hope to get out of this? And then just went around the room with the Native folks. And to a person, everyone said, yeah, I don't participate in these land and water acknowledgement processes anymore, but I think this might be something different, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that it is, and that we will be able to see demonstrable impact on the work of the Met Council. And they also wanted commitments, not acknowledgement. And so right there, we turned it on its head. It became a process to develop the commitments from Met Council to the Native communities here about what we're going to do. And then the land and water and people acknowledgement, as we call it, came after this work. It was towards the end of the 6 months. But the strategy to ask Native people to speak first was a good one. And it just changed the quality of the conversation. And what amazed me at that first session was how much laughter was in the room. And, you know, Native folks get together, we laugh, you know, we laugh and laugh. But usually if we're in some sort of government-sponsored space, it's not that, right? People are the stoic Indians, or the smile and nod Indians, but we're not laughing. But this was like a comedy show, man. And I thought, okay, this is good. This is going to work. You know, we've got laughter in the room.
Yeah, and to me, we've talked about this before, but the education about what the Met Council does is amazing, and that's what we had brought to us as, you know, the cleaning of the Mississippi that they did years ago. I mean, there was three. They talked about 1928. There was three fish in the river from St. Paul to Minneapolis, and then one of them died because they picked him up and he died in their hands. So it really was two, and how much it's been cleaned up since then.
The river was so contaminated at the beginning of the 20th century. And now when water leaves in the Mississippi, when water leaves the cities, it's cleaner than when it comes in to the cities, which I think is amazing. And then St. Paul Mayor Carter was there as well. And he is so fun to listen to, right? But he was joking about, yeah, I only care about the cleanliness of the St. Paul side of the Mississippi River, as if you could divide it. But it says something, right? We're not separate. We are together. We value the water together. We, as the chair of the Met Council said during his State of the Region, we now view the water as a living relative, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the influence of the group that you're part of on our policymaking.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that the Met Council does own a lot of property, and a lot of it is around water and sacred water for our community that's been here 10,000 years. And so, you know, it's places that way back were possibly, you know, really sacred to a lot of different tribes over the years.
Right. And with your leadership, Dr. Kate Bean's leadership, the leadership of the American Indian Advisory Council, this year we'll embark on a index and cataloging of all of the sacred sites within the metro. And as Dr. Kate Bean said during the process, you were there, you know, if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to preserve it, how to save it. So under your guidance and her guidance, we're doing that. We're going to figure out what we have. What do we have here, you know? And that's very exciting and a direct result of the American Indian Advisory Council's recommendations. And you guys are having an impact.
You know, it's really interesting, too, while you're talking that way. It's like we are so blessed to be in this state for many, many reasons. And now the MEC, add the MEC Council to that.
Yeah. And so Dr. Bean talked about that as well. She didn't know anything about the MEC Council before all of this, you know.
And I knew two things, and that's what I saw in the news. And one was light rail, and then another one was unelected officials people complained about. Right, I had no idea the scope of what they do.
The MEC Council is the government jurisdictional punching bag of Minnesota. And so we aren't elected, we're appointed. We do have tax authority, which kind of rubs some people the wrong way. 0.025% of your tax levy is MEC Council, but we take a lot of hits. We're the most studied unit of government in the state. And I often wonder what it means about me. I served on the Minneapolis City Council, which is it's probably the second most despised unit of government, and now the MEC Council. What does that say about me that I crave this public abuse, I guess?
Jeez. Well, I saw one of your people that you helped get elected today, and she wants to come on the show again, and she was with another city council member, and it's excited. We connect the dots and connect the relationships. And Robert, you're one of the big connectors of the state and the Twin Cities. And we appreciate you coming on.
You're very kind. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll be talking to you this week, and it'll be some whining over the phone, some things that I'm going through. So it was great seeing you today. And thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Gigawaba, man.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us. Oh, wow. Yeah.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, that was great hanging out with Robert on the air and also at Alliance. What is the name of that?
Is that the field, the soccer field?
Yeah.
Oh, Avian. That's where you guys had your meeting. Very cool.
Not in the field, but in the expensive press box of the field.
Oh, fancy. That's
I'll never see that again, but... you know, I won't have season tickets. And well, you know, that's the whole thing. But it was very cool. First time in the stadium. And hopefully not the last. I reached out to the owner about coming in and doing a show or two, and especially during Native American Heritage Month. So we'll have to drag you and the crew to...
The crew. Yeah. You and I. Yeah.
Exactly. The big crew. You know, there's a... wanted to ask Robert that, but I didn't want to have him on the whole show. But there's a new exhibit coming at All My Relations Art Gallery coming up. And that's coming up very soon.
Very soon. Yeah, this was a email we got from Angela Two Stars, who runs the All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is part of NACTI. And it's the building that they share NACTI with. So I think it's 1414 East Franklin Avenue. The gallery is just behind the coffee shop inside there, Powwow Grounds Coffee. But this is Rory Wakeemup's new exhibit. It is Star Wars themed, and it's called Smart Wars, Many Shields. And this is, you know, going to be a great one. I've seen Rory's work in a lot of places. Rory Wakeemup is a Minnesota Chippewa native, and that'll be fun. I know that one's going to be on view at All My Relations Arts Gallery starting February 20th through April 5th. And there will be an opening reception and artist talk on Thursday, February 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. So that'll be fun. I know they're also going to plan a three-day printing youth workshop.
Yeah.
And that closing reception with performative elements will be Saturday, April 5th. So save the date for those.
Yeah, definitely. And then before the MMIW march on the 14th, I believe the 12th, he'll be doing silk screening at, I think it's a Minnesota Women's...
Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... On the 12th, I know there's a few things going on in Minneapolis. I think that's the same evening as the round dance that's going on at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. But all day before that at MIWRC in Minneapolis, they will be doing screen printing in preparation for Friday's march, which will be on Valentine's Day. That is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March in Minneapolis that goes on every year. A bunch of stuff. For that, I know the printmaking event, a lot of people like to attend and wear their swag and stuff at the march.
Definitely, and I believe you have like a red Ho-Chunk jacket that you may be wearing.
Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. If it's cold, I don't know if it's going to be like how it was today, feeling like 50 degrees, blue skies here in Minnesota.
No, it won't be global warming that day. I'm sure it'll be not a little cooler, but yeah, so I'm not... Yeah. Well, it was great talking, and we've talked about it too. And you sent me this awesome video about what's happening right now. And Robert and you talked a little bit about it in the first segment, but the shock and awe, the things that he did before where, you know, you did 200, special things the first day, and we couldn't keep track of what the heck was going on. And you know, we just have to stay vigilant, and that's again why, you know, your job's so important here, Haley.
Oh yeah, well, that video I sent you, I think, you know, we're talking about Trump and his presidency, and I think, you know, I see very narcissistic patterns with Donald Trump. I think he's a narcissist. I think he's an abuser. And I think these tactics of installing fear and panic into the United States society, you know, that's just, it's spiritual warfare. It's emotional warfare. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, to make us feel small by an abuser and to take away our power. So just realizing that, it's a tactic, and a lot of this isn't going to come into fruition like, you know, maybe he would hope so. You know, it's just remembering our power, and like Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan said in the update we played earlier, to take care of yourself and do the best that you can for your family. And when you're at your 100%, you can do great work for the community.
Well, and again, what President of Ho-Chunk Nation said about 6 days ago, he will not bend or bow or play political games or accept any threat to any of our tribal members or their families. You know, yeah. And that's putting it straight out. And Robert talking about the resiliency that we've had, that this is nothing new. And but we just got to stay vigilant. And that's why it's important to hear, like, people were at that Lower Sioux meeting and really, you know, getting together and getting ready for this, you know, pipeline that's going through sacred land again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just to remember we have a lot of, you know, fights and battles to still win and work on. So just putting, you know, your compassion, your hard work, your energy towards what's best for your individual communities is the best thing we can do right now. So yeah, just try to stay in a positive mindset, take care of yourself, take care of your family. And that's the best we can do. I want to end with something a little bit positive here. Mm-hmm. I know that we share and talk to a lot of artists in our community, and wanted to shout out one of my favorite artists that I've been following for quite some time. And it's really cool because he's Ho-Chunk, Winnebago, like us, Ho-Wa. Mm-hmm. And his name is Henry Payer, and you can find him on Instagram. His Instagram handle is Henry Ho-Chunk. And Henry sells original prints of different types of collage making media. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of known for incorporating the traveling Winnebago RV in his Winnebago native art, which I think is really cool to take back that name and re-indigenize it. So, yeah, it's really cool. You can find him on Henry Ho-Chunk. And I want to share a piece.
I was going to say, if you like him so much, you should buy a piece.
I did, finally.
I know.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Oh, sorry.
If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or our other social media platforms at Native Roots Radio.
Blue Sky, we're on now, too.
Oh, Blue Sky, we're on. Good to know. I'll put this picture up here. This is a painting that I bought. It's an original collage piece from Henry Ho-Chunk, Henry Payer. And I'm very excited about it, and yeah, hope to buy more. But I wanted to shout out his artwork because I think he's very, very talented.
Yeah, and it's important to support our living artists too. You know, we have a lot of artists out there, but our living artists that makes art and makes it for a living.
Yeah, yeah. And
see what I did there? I put living and living in there twice, two different ways.
Okay, yeah. Kind of like dual purpose it. Well, I want to shout out, we've got the Inde Young 26th mm-hmm. Annual Cherish the Children Powwow, which I think you mentioned earlier in the show. Yeah, give some applause for that. That'll be at Johnson Senior High School this year, both days, Saturday and Sunday, February 8th and 9th. Come on out for that. Grand entry times on Saturday, 1 and 7 p.m., feast at 5 p.m., and grand entry time at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be there, be square. And, and Haley and I will be working the table and talking to people about Native Roots Radio and what we do and how important people like Robert Lilligren are to be on the show and speak the truth.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss with Sandy Williams of the direction of our nation under President Donald Trump, talk with Bob Amsterdam about the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. The National Transportation Safety Board announced the cockpit voice and flight data recorders from the American Airlines jet that was hit by an Army helicopter over Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport have been recovered. ABC News aviation analyst John Nance.
The black boxes, which are actually orange, will give us a very clear picture, hopefully, of what happened in terms of verbalization in the cockpit in the jet. As far as the other one, the flight data recorder, that's going to give us about 350 channels of digital information about all the things that were happening to the jet. So it'll give us a precise location of where it was, what the attitude was.
The Army helicopter had a recorder aboard as well.
So the Black Hawk, we believe they have a flight data recorder. We don't believe they have a cockpit voice recorder, but that's still going to help, especially in putting together the flight dynamics of how one machine intersected the other, exactly at what altitude and what airspeed.
This is ABC News.